You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we started a series here a few weeks ago and talking about the battleground, amen. Through the years, you know, you ask people questions, hey, brother, how's it going? How goes the battle? You know, which is probably the wrong thing to ask anyway. But, you know, from time to time, we face different battles in our lives, and there's certain strategies, and that's what we want to talk about, certain strategies when you're in a battlefield, and what to do and what not to do. And we talked for the first several weeks, you know, about the mind and how the battlefield really is in the mind of a believer. And the Bible says that, you know, that we're to pull down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so we know that the number one way, the number one strategy that the enemy uses is by putting bad thoughts in Christians' minds and trying to make you think that that's your thought. Okay? Now, just because you have a bad thought, we went into detail about that. You have a bad thought, an evil thought, a fearful thought, doesn't mean that that's God. And so we have to decipher between the enemy's thoughts and God's thoughts and even how God thinks about us. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a scripture in, Jeremiah, I think, 29. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. You ever want to know what God thinks about you? He goes on to say, he says, the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. Years ago, when I was interested in, when I was interested in her, I wanted to know, what did she think of me? Am I the only one that's ever been there before? Okay. Because that, knowing that would determine the next move, right? Praise the Lord. And so, thank God it was positive. Amen. And so it really helps when you know how God thinks. You know, there's people that literally think that God's mad at them, that God's ticked off at them. He's not mad at you. He's never been mad at you. But yet sometimes religion and different people have said things that, you know, if you do this, God's going to get a hold of you. I'm telling you, he's got a big baseball bat in heaven. He's going to clobber you over the head if you do something wrong. Now, I know a lot of people that have been raised in those kind of churches, and it's a fear of God, but it's the wrong kind of fear. There's a fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but that's not like you're afraid of him like you're afraid of a snake or a wild animal or something like that. The fear of the Lord means simply, I love you, Lord. I respect you, and I want to honor you. Okay? So there's a lot of people that have a problem with knowing what God thinks about them. And again, the battlefield is in the mind. We're talking about these areas. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we saw this last week. And again, if you haven't already, pick up one of the CDs from last week. It'll really help you because we don't have time to go back and reiterate everything here. But it says right here in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now notice verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Let's say that together. Fight the good fight of faith. And then he goes on to say, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession or confession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, we saw that in this scripture last week that the only fight, we're in a battlefield, and we're in a situation, we're in a battle of any kind, we have to realize that the only fight that you and I are literally in is the fight of faith. We're never told in the Bible to fight Satan. We're never told to fight demons. Now, we're called to resist them, but we're not called to fight them. And I'll prove that out as we get into this here today. Because the only fight that we have to understand that when we're in a fight of any kind, whether it's your physical body, your financial situation, or whatever the case may be that you're dealing with, we have to understand this, that the enemy's desire is to get you and I out of faith. And once we're out of faith, then he can take advantage of us. But we're going to see a scripture here. And if you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 5 again. 1 John chapter 5. And I want to show you how important your faith is, because your faith is nothing more than trust in God. Your faith is your trust in the Lord. Now, that trust can be developed. That trust can increase. I look at my own life because I know me better than anybody else, but there are areas that I struggled in years ago as far as trusting God for certain things. And it seemed like the hardest thing in the world for me back in those days in certain areas. Now, we all have different areas we're stronger in or we're weak in, right? But, you know, as time progresses and you stay hooked with God and stay hooked with His Word, and that we should get stronger, amen? We should get stronger. It's just like a person that goes to a gym, you know? And if they're faithful to that gym, they should be stronger a year from that point, right? If they continue to lift and they work out, right? And it's the same thing with the Word of God. When you get the Word of God on the inside of you, and you use that Word of God and you exercise the Word of God, you will become stronger in your faith. What used to be a struggle for me years ago is no longer a struggle for me now. Because by reason of use and using your faith and praying and believing God, your faith becomes strengthened. And a lot of you, I want to just encourage you, because your faith, you're a lot stronger in faith than you think you are. I want you to know that. You're a lot stronger in faith than you think that you might not be. And I just want to encourage you with that. You got more faith in you than you realize. 1 John chapter 5, we saw this last week. Hallelujah. 1 John 5, 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I look at that and I say, I'm an overcomer. Say it. I'm an overcomer. Well, how do you know that? Well, if you're born of God, in other words, if you believe in Jesus and he is your Lord and your Savior, all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. That's all it is. He did it all for you. You just have to receive it. And when you believe that and you know that, he goes on to say, you're an overcomer. Praise God. You're an overcomer. Well, it could have fooled me. I looked in the mirror. I looked at my circumstance. Didn't look like I was an overcomer. No, God says you are presently an overcomer. See, the Bible says God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen? And we went into detail about that last week. But let me say this, that faith is the victory. I put this in bold letters on my notes, but faith is the victory always. Okay? Your faith saved you from hell.
Yeah.
Now stop and think about that. That is the biggest obstacle that you will ever face in this life. Some of you here recently, you made Jesus the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Right here in this auditorium, right here, you made said, "Jesus, come into my heart." And you know what? God changed your destiny. And at some point, all of us here made that decision. We were destined for hell, but our destination changed. Our flight was canceled. Praise God. And he put us on a new plane. You get that, don't you? And you're headed to heaven. Now, that all came as a result of believing something and making the confession with your mouth. Jesus, you are Lord. And God says, all right, your name's in the book of life. And whenever you check out of this earth, you know exactly where you're going. That's the greatest miracle that there is. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Hallelujah. So this is a reality. Your faith overcame sin and Satan and demons and evil spirits, and there's no devil on this earth that could have held you back from getting saved. And there's people, bless their hearts, that Christians, I've been around long enough and I've seen it through the years, that there are people that put more stock in the enemy's ability than they do God's ability. Amen. Years ago in our first church that we pastored, I'm talking like over 20 some years ago, there was a fellow that was coming to our church. He was a good man, loved God, there's no question about it. But he always, to my recollection, every single time, I mean, he served in the church, helped out, did different things, but he was always talking about what the enemy was doing. It was always some spiritual warfare, some battle somehow, you know? And then I wondered why, now it made sense why he was always oppressed. You couldn't get him to smile hardly ever. There was no joy. There was no peace in his life, even though he was a born-again child of God. But see, he was raised, this gentleman, a good man, but he was raised in a teaching with the idea that Satan's just waiting behind every bush and every rock to jump on you at any given moment. Okay? And if we have that mindset, then we're going to think the devil's this big devil and God's like this small, eensy beensy, as we used to say when we were kids, God. But the fact of the matter is, God's way bigger than the enemy. Absolutely. The devil is nothing more than a fallen angel. God didn't create him that way. He was Lucifer, son of the morning, along with Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, the three arch-chief angels. And so one day, Lucifer, you see this in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you see that he said one day that Lucifer said, he was so impressed. He was beautiful. God made him that way. But he got lifted up in pride. He looked in his mirror and said, "Woo, you are something." You know? And it says there was five things that he says. I will ascend to the throne of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the sides of the north. And there's five I wills. And so the Bible says that iniquity was found in him. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning in Luke chapter 10 from heaven. And so his pride brought him low in darkness. Now, God didn't create him that way. He chose to do that. Okay? Now, Satan, the Bible says, is the author. He's the father of lies, and he's the author of sin. He sins from the beginning, the Bible says. Okay? And he just happens to be the one that Jesus redeemed you from. Okay? Now, the devil has no more anointing, no more glory. He doesn't have any of that. Satan was stripped of that by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only as you find out these things in the New Testament, that in Ephesians especially, that God's raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that's named. So when you're facing situations in life and you're dealing with the adversary, you have to realize you're dealing with a fallen, defeated foe. Now, let's just take, for example, you had a guy come in here that was a huge muscle man. Just use your imagination. And he came in here and he comes up here and says, I'm going to just rip all your pieces here today. And this guy, his arms are like this big around, just strong as anything, you know. But somehow, we get our ushers here. Say amen to our ushers here. Our ushers, raise your hand now. And I said, ushers, I want you to take this guy and chain him up. And they get these big steel chains, you know, and they chain him up front here, you know, and he's to the wall. He can't move or anything. His legs, his arms are chained. Now, he can say all he wants. He can spew out everything he wants. But you're not threatened by him because he's already chained up. He's already, his limitations are on him. He can't do anything. All he can do is spout. All he can do is talk. Amen? Amen. And the weakest person in this church right now, physically speaking, I'm not going to call anybody up, but you could say, ha, ha, ha. You could call names and everything else. He's not going to hurt you. You know, you get the point. He can't touch you. Why? Because he's locked up. He's bound. That's exactly what Jesus did to Satan. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. There was a parade in downtown eternity. Amen? Not too long ago, we were at Disney. And never been there before, a really cool place. And I was kind of surprised. I thought I'd be bored there. It was really cool. And, you know, they're really big into parades. I got stuck in one. I couldn't cross the street, you know what I mean? And they last a long time, you know what I mean? And there was a parade above all parades that took place in downtown eternity, amen, when Jesus was raised from the dead. It says he marched through the streets of hell, made a show of those demons and devils, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. So what did he do? He made a show of them openly. See, back in the days of Israel, back in the Old Testament, when they would go in and they would conquer a city or something of an evil city, you know what they would do? They would kill all the people that were there, but then they would take the kings or the people in charge of that city, and they would keep them alive, and they would march them around, made a parade, and they would march them up and down, mocking them, okay? That's Old Testament, of course. I know you wanted to do that to your boss and so forth, but, you know. But listen, that's what they did, and they made a show of them, and then they would go out and crucify them. Are you with me? Now listen to me, the devil is defeated. And our job is to enforce his defeat. You see, a policeman, their job is to enforce the law that already exists. My earthly father was a city policeman for years. And he loved it. He loved it. And but I'm telling you, he would go out and with his uniform on, he'd go out there in midday traffic, you know, and he did a lot of traffic downtown Pittsburgh at that time, you know, and all he would have to do is hold his hand up and traffic would stop everywhere. Why? Because he had the authority. His clothing had the authority, that badge, you know. When I was a little kid and he would come out, you know, and it was just overwhelming. See that big gun, you know, and just that badge and the blue uniform and all that. It was like there was an authority about them, you see. Well, in the realm of the Spirit, you and I we're clothed with God's armor.
Yeah. Amen.
In the spirit realm. And the enemy sees that, but he doesn't want you to see it. But when you see something, I'm going to show you something. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. The victory that overcomes the world, and that means anything in the world, is our faith. So I got a word for you today. Don't settle for anything less than God's best.
Amen.
Okay? It's a fight, but it's a good fight because you will win. Amen? So you win. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says this. This is the chapter about the armor of God, you know, what I just mentioned. He says this, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or flaming missiles, as one translation says. It says that when you take the shield of faith, you're going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Say all.
All.
So it must be pretty important if you stop and think about it. Your faith is the shield of faith. Now, it's interesting when Paul, I believe when he had this rebel, he was in jail actually for preaching the gospel here, not for peddling drugs or anything like that. But he was there for preaching the gospel. And they had these Roman guards that would guard. And so he was looking, I'm sure, at one of these guys. And the Lord said, okay, let's talk about the armor of God. So the devil threw him in jail, but the jail wasn't in him. Paul was in jail, but the jail wasn't in him. Because that's where he wrote most of his letters that you and I are gleaning from today, from a prison cell. So the devil couldn't stop him. And he said, this shield was so big that it went from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet. It would cover your whole front of your being. Okay? And he says that this shield, this is the faith that we have in Christ, in Him, in His Word. This shield of faith, it will stop all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. My goodness. Well, who has this shield of faith? Every believer. Every single believer. Okay? Now that's partly our job as ministers is to help us to see, okay, how do we use this? Okay? Now, these are spiritual weapons. Okay? Faith, the shield of faith. These are spiritual weapons. They're not physical weapons. It's not you don't hold something up physically, you know, but it's a spiritual weapon. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 5, I want to walk this out with you this morning. I want to show you something here about the shield of faith. And again, we're talking about the battlefield, when you're in a battle, you have to know your equipment and what you have. Bless the Lord. So many times through the years, you know, and I know you have too, that there's been situations where you face in life, and things happen in life, you know, and things, situations present themselves to you. And when you might have been going through that, you know, the enemy tried to make it, that thing look a whole lot bleaker than it really was. But now in hindsight, you can look back and you can say, you know, as tough as that situation was, as much as I might have worried about that or was fretful about that, the Lord brought me through that situation. Okay? Your faith saw you through. Now I was just thinking, now that I said that, you know, when Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. I'd call that shredded wheat. He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But notice he said this, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Interesting. See, the only thing you need when you're facing, listen very carefully here, the only thing you need when you're facing a situation is your faith. Because your faith will get you through. I want to say that again. Your faith will get you through the darkest situation of your life. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord's always provided that faith for us. Now, a lot of us sometimes we've chosen to walk away from that. You know what I'm saying? We've laid the word down. We've laid the things of God down. We've walked away from it when it was there all along for us to use. It's completely up to us. But the Bible says we are to take the shield. I just noticed that right now. Notice verse 16, Ephesians 6, 16. It says, take the shield of faith. I just saw that. Say, take it.
Take it.
That means it's not going to fall on you.
Hallelujah.
That means when you wake up in the morning, it's not going to fall from heaven and wake you up. You have to pick it up and say, all right, I take the shield of faith today. Father, I'm trusting you today. There's something very powerful, saints, that when you say things like, Lord, I'm trusting you today.
Amen.
That simple phrase right there, Lord, I am trusting you with every area of my life today. And you go about your business. You know what you just did? You took the shield of faith.
Amen. Praise God.
Because faith is nothing more than trust. It's not some deep theological word, you know, that you have to go to seminary to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Faith means you just trust.
Mm-hmm.
You trust. You trust the Lord. And when you trust the Lord, you can be at rest and you can be at peace.
Amen.
And you can go about your business and you can smile and you can enjoy the day.
Amen.
Amen? You know, Christians ought to be, I'm convinced Christians ought to be the happiest people on the earth.
Amen.
We ought to be the happiest people on this earth because we already know the answer. We know the outcome. We already know the outcome. Now, I'm not talking about heaven. Ultimately, that's the destination, heaven, right? But I'm talking here on this earth. We know the outcome. And if our trust is in the Lord and our trust is in Him, no matter what kind of report we get, doctor's report, financial report, you name it, if our trust is in the Lord, He will see you through. Now, the problem has been is when we lay down our shield of faith and we walk away from it because we can't handle the pressure. Okay? But here's a little nugget to stop and think about this. You're going to face pressure one way or the other. And if you lay your shield down, you walk away from the things of God, you walk away from God, dear Lord, you're going to be in all kinds of pressure, but you're going to be depending on yourself to get out of that situation. That's a whole other situation entirely. Okay? In other words, you're going to use effort one way or the other, but why not use your effort to pick the shield of faith up, to trust Him, and to go about your business and let Him see the let Him walk you through this thing to total victory in your life.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Some of you here, in the last couple of years, you went through some things.
Amen.
You went through some stuff, but your faith saw you through. Because guess what? Your faith wasn't in you. It was in God. It was in God, the one that made this universe. My goodness. You know, when you stop and think about how big God is, all you got to do is step out this door right here and look around, and you see how big God is. When I was a young child, especially, you know, that I still do to this day, I loved the outdoors. I was just born for the outdoors. If it was up to me, I'd live in some log cabin somewhere out there somewhere, you know. But, you know, you got a family, you got to take care of them too, right? But it used to just overwhelm me as a young boy growing up, you know, and I would just look around and say, this couldn't be a mistake. Well, that's what the scripture says, that the very creation itself tells us that there is a God.
Amen.
So that we're without excuse. I look around, I see this beautiful sunset or tree or countryside, whatever, you know, and you realize there's no way that this was a big bang here. No way. There's no way. You know, it's kind of like this, just use your imagination here, you know. In our other hotel, we had big paintings on the wall, you know. And I use this illustration. Nobody would walk up to that beautiful painting on the wall and say, you know, that was just an accident. There was a big bang that took place, and that thing came out of it right there. Nobody in the right mind would say, that porch was just a mistake, it just happened. No, there was a, now you don't see him, you don't see him or her, but somebody created that big picture. You just haven't met them yet. You haven't seen them yet. But there's proof that somebody created that portrait. God's stamp is over all of creation.
Amen.
That's why the scripture says man is without excuse. Amen? Do you know there's no atheist in hell? There's no atheist in hell. Even the devil's not an atheist. The Bible says the devils believe in God and they tremble. But they're not saved. But they believe in God. Praise the Lord. But that scripture again in Ephesians 6:16, it says, take the shield of faith and you shall be able to stop and quench all the fiery darts or flaming missiles of the wicked one. Say all.
All.
Well, what does that mean, Brother Keith? Okay. What's a fiery dart? That could be sickness. Okay? That could be a bad report. That could be a financial burden. That could be a stressful relationship. It could be any one of the above, okay? These are all flaming missiles, but the shield of faith will stop every single one of them. That's a big shield. Now, I had you turn to Mark, didn't I? Go to Mark chapter 5. And I want you to see this here because here's a guy that walked this thing out. And just stay with me here. This is really important here. But look at 21, Mark 5 and verse 21. It says this. When Jesus had passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Now, she happened to be 12 years old. We'll see that here. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, he's talking to Jesus, I pray thee, come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. There's two things he said. She'll be healed, and she'll live. And she's only 12 years old. So he's very positive. Jesus, can you come to my house? Lay hands on my little girl that she may be healed and that she may live. Now here's the response of Jesus. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. So in other words, Jesus agreed to go with Jairus. So he's on his way. Get the picture. He's on his way. But the Bible says there was a lot of people. And then what we see here, there's an interruption that takes place. Now, I'm not going to read this for the sake of time this morning. But here's where the woman with the issue of blood sneaks through the crowd there, right? And she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, you know. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to minister to that 12-year-old daughter, his daughter, correct? And so the woman with the issue of blood interrupted them. Now, you can imagine, Jairus must have been pretty on pins and needles, if you would, because, you know, the clock is ticking by right here. So let's jump down to verse 35. That's Mark 5, verse 35. This is after the woman with the issue of blood took place. She took some time up here. She was healed by the power of God. And it says that while he yet spake, there came one of the rulers from the synagogue house, a certain, which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Now that's interesting, huh? Everybody say bad news.
Bad news.
Now this is bad news here. Now you can only imagine the kind of emotions that Jairus must have been going through, because he's thinking, that woman interrupted us, and if she hadn't interrupted us, we could have got to my daughter before she died. He's probably thinking this. Say, it's never too late with Jesus. So they said, "Your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" So just leave Jesus alone, okay? But notice this, verse 36, here's interesting. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that they said, that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, that's Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." And what did Jairus say? Nothing. Jesus was standing there when they came. "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's over. You know, just come home." That is bad news. That's a bad day right there. But not for long. Not for long. Jesus dealt with something here right away that you and I have to deal with on a regular basis, and that is to not let fear into our lives. You know, fear is a license to allow the enemy to operate in our lives. That's the only way he has a foothold in a believer's life, is through the spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Man, I have to say on a regular basis sometimes, I refuse to be afraid.
Amen. Amen.
I will not be afraid. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to intimidate me. Amen. When I had that report recently about my body, I had to, on a constant basis, I said, I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to lose my joy. I refuse to lose my peace. I refuse. And I'm glad I did. Because I'm a living testimony of that right now, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Amen. Bless the Lord. But he says, as soon as he heard this, this bad report, Jesus spoke to him, to Jairus. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. Okay? Now, he's saying, reject one, accept the other. You reject fear, but you choose belief. I choose to believe. Now, let's look at what happened. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Okay, now this is interesting, because Jesus chose three people here to follow him into where Jairus' daughter was. And I think that's really significant, because, you know, you have to have people that are with you, especially when it comes to using your faith. You have to have people that are with you, that believe, and are standing with you, and they're not fair weather friends. You know what I'm saying? They're with you, man. They're sticking with you no matter what, like glue. Bless the Lord. And I know when I went through that situation recently, you know, and I called Lynn and Kathy Mink, you know, and I'm telling you what, they're with us. I know that. They're ministers, but they're friends of ours. And I'm telling you what, they are with us. Bless the Lord. And it made all the difference in the world. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. And notice, let's see here. Verse 38, and then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, wailing greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make this ado and weep? the damsel is not dead but sleepeth. And notice this, they laughed him to scorn. This tells you something about human nature. You know, they're just, I mean, they're just going nuts, you know. And all of a sudden they're like, ha, 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 ha. Wait a minute, they're going from, these are emotional people here. They're going from weeping to laughing all in 1 second here. But they're not laughing. It's not the joy of the Lord here. They're scorning Jesus because of what he said. He said, oh, she's not dead. She sleepeth. Now, wait a minute. This girl died. But see, Jesus didn't lie. He's calling those things that be not as though they were. Amen? Amen. Listen, if you want the dog, don't call the cat. Yeah. Brother Caps used to say that, you know. We got a cat, we got a dog, you know, and they come when we call them, all things being equal. Now, a couple of weeks ago, our little doggy on a Saturday night decided to get into an encounter with a skunk. Guess who won? There's still remnants of that around, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he'll ever go after a skunk again, but I'll tell you what. Now, he's been, how old is our dog? About 10 years old. It's never happened before, but on a Saturday night, right before church, this happened. I'm telling you, that was very interesting. Yeah. I don't know why I said that, but I did. But Jesus said, the little girl sleepeth, you know? And they laughed him to scorn. Well, let's read the rest of the story here, as Paul Harvey once said. Okay. There, verse 40, it says, no, verse 39, he says that, you know, why make you all this ado and so forth and weep? He says, and the damsel is not dead but sleepeth, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, now what does that mean? He kicked them out. And sometimes you have to kick unbelief out. Now, we're not talking about being mean-spirited to people. That's not what it's about. No. But sometimes you got to kick unbelief out the door. That's amen. Because right. Aunt Martha, Aunt Mary, whatever, you know, they might mean well. Yeah. But I'm telling you, yeah, there are people that just love to talk about sickness and disease. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. And, oh, I mean, they'll talk you into a grave if you let them. They look terrible. It looked like death walking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, you just got to remove, you can be kind to people, but say, you know what, yeah, let's bring these faith people with us here. So we're going to pray, in faith over this whole thing. Yeah. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's true. Amen. And that's important. Yeah. That's really important. Because look at what happened right here. Where was I here? Verse 40 says, and they laughed in the scorn, but when he put them all out, he kicked them out. He taketh the father and the mother and the girl of the girl, and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, entered in wherein the girl was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, little girl, I say unto thee, arise. Now she's dead physically. She's physically dead. But he's saying to the girl that's dead, he says, arise. Do you see where Jesus is calling things which be not as though they were? Amen. He didn't go in there and said, she's dead. Now, the other people are saying that. She's dead, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. Right? Jesus said, arise. And look at what happened. And straightway, the damsel arose and walked, for she was about the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Isn't that something? Was this a battlefield or what?
Yes. Yes.
That's about as serious as it gets right there. But what did they have? Peter, James, and John and Jesus. See, Peter, James, and John were a byproduct of spending their time with Jesus. Whether we like it or not, who we spend the most time with will affect us the most. Amen. Well, the beautiful thing about it is you know, you can be a partaker of a ministry without having to know them personally. Mm-hmm. because you can reap the benefits of that anointing that's on their lives. Yeah. See, I never knew Kenneth Hagin. I met him one time, and I came out of his Bible school, but I didn't know him personally, okay? It wasn't necessary. I didn't have to. If the Lord wanted to arrange it, that's fine. But I'll tell you one thing. I was a student underneath his ministry, and his anointing is a part of my life today. I am a result of Kenneth Hagin's obedience to the call of God, which affected my obedience, Lynn's obedience. We even met as a result of Brother Hagin's ministry. Okay? Everything we have today, it goes back upstream to that ministry that started right there. Bless God. Amen. So you don't have to know someone physically or minister personally. You don't have to know them. Now, if God arranges that, that's fine. But you can glean from their anointing, from their presence, and the will of God that's on their lives. Their anointing is what I'm trying to say. And it will affect and impact your life. Peter, James, and John were a byproduct of Jesus' ministry. And this girl was raised from the dead as a result. 12 years old. Don't you know that her mom and dad were pretty excited that day? Don't you know that Jairus and Mrs. Jairus were pretty happy people that day? All right, and wrapping this up this morning, we've only got a few minutes here. Go to Mark chapter 4, and I want to show you something here about this shield of faith here. Because the battlefield, again, where is it at? It's in our thinking. It's in our mind, right? And if we put the right stuff inside of our mind, that will equip us to face any battle in life and come out victorious. Praise God. Amen. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, it said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you got two sets of ears. You got these natural ears, and you got your spiritual ears. You know that? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said, take, verse 24, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Let's say that together. Take heed what you hear. Or we could say, be selective about what we hear. Now, that's exactly what happened to the thing with Jairus when they came back and they told Jesus and Jairus, don't trouble the master anymore. Your little daughter's dead. You know, so Jesus immediately arrested those words right there. He pulled out his spiritual gun and he put that on arrest. And he said to Jairus, he looked at him, he says, fear not, only believe. See, there's no in between. It's either fear not and believe. Fear not, believe. No fear, belief. And when you choose to believe, you're setting yourself up to win every single time. See, Jesus wants you to win every single time. The scripture tells us, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 2:14, I think it is. It says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Amen. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not when we die and go to heaven, but on this earth right now.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So he says right here, take heed, verse 24, take heed what you hear, for what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. Now let's look, Josh, go over to the Amplified of that same Mark 4, verse 23. I want you to notice this with me here. If any man have ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said unto them, I like this. It says, be careful what you are hearing, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be measured, or the virtue of knowledge that comes back to you, the more besides will be given unto you that hear. Now, I notice the phrase that we have to be careful about what we're hearing. All right? The measure of thought and study that we give. You might hear something, but what credence does it have? We all hear things. We all hear, you're going to hear evil things. You're going to hear bad reports, things like that. You're going to hear bad news sometimes. There's not much you can do about that because we're in this world. We're going to hear stuff. However, we can certainly choose which of those words we're going to meditate on. Okay? If I'm watching the news for some reason or something and some bad report comes on, I'll say out loud, that doesn't affect me. When they say, you know what, flu season is just around the corner. It's almost like they're proud of it. Because they got to report the news. And it's always bad news. It's never good news. Because good news doesn't sell. It's always bad news. You know what I mean? You know, the guy drove his car in the ditch. You know, it's funny because sometimes you go out in the country, you know, they're looking for news, you know. They'll show a guy hit a deer or something, his car went into the ditch. You know, that makes the headlines if you're in the country. You know what I mean? Killed Bambi along the side of the road, you know. When in a rural place, that makes news, you know what I mean? But see, that's the world system. And Jesus said, take heed what you hear. So we, in other words, we need to be selective about what we're going to listen to. Now, through the years, I'm even, they're sad to say sometimes, you'll even hear, you know, in the Christian media sometimes, you'll hear sometimes, we're not dropping names, that's not our duty to do that, but sometimes people will minister out of a spirit of fear to put fear in people. You know, like about the end times and things like that. You know, you need to get some dry food and go out and, you know, and get some. Yeah. You know where I'm going with that one. But brother, pastor, they're on television. They got a big ministry. That doesn't mean that squat. I don't care if they have thousands of followers. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not going to. He never said, go buy a little place out in the country and hide from their needs. Store up ammunition. Get guns. Everything you can do. That's fear. Okay? Now, it's not wrong to have a gun. Praise the Lord. Have a gun, but have it in faith. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But sometimes the wrong impression is given because people say, like, because of fear. Because of fear. Now, whatever we do, we should do it in faith. Amen? But Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, take heed how you hear. Now that's interesting because in Mark's it says take heed what you hear, but then Luke says take heed how you hear. That will be your attitude, how you hear. Amen? When I was growing up, you know, and my parents sometimes felt that I wasn't listening. And I don't know if I'm the only one that's been there, but my dad would say, son, are you listening to me? Huh? What? Are you listening to me? Because I was kind of half hearing them, you know what I mean? Yeah, Dad, I hear it. I hear it. All right, what did I just say? Say that again. I was half listening, you know? So we need to take heed what we hear. So the entrance to our heart and our mind and our emotions is through, and I know you've heard this before, but you'll hear it again today, is through your ear gate, through your eye gate. That's the battleground right there, because if you're putting the right stuff in your eyes and the right stuff in your ears, then it's going to be okay. Amen? Now, I remember back in the day, you know, this is kind of a funny thing now, but my dad moved to heaven over a year and a half ago, you know, and he's with Jesus. And praise God, we're going to see our loved ones again. Amen?
Amen.
But we had some interesting times on the earth, needless to say. And I remember when I was just a young Christian, My brother's 15 years younger than me, so he came along, you know, he was almost like a son to me because I was 15 going on 16, you know, and so we didn't have enough bedrooms, so my family decided to, instead of moving, they were going to build an addition onto the back of the kitchen, and that was going to be my bedroom. And I thought, that's a great move, right next to the refrigerator, a teenager next to the refrigerator. Worked out well for me. Well, my dad had just gotten saved, you know, and he got saved, you know, but there was still, he needed his mind desperately needed renewed, big time, you know, because he's still rough around the edges, man. He loves the Lord, but he's just really rough around the edges, you know, and just kind of new to this stuff, you know, and but he loved horror flicks. He just did. And I knew, I guess I'd grown enough spiritually to realize we shouldn't be watching that stuff. You know? We shouldn't be watching stuff that's going to put a spirit of fear on the inside of us. We just ought not do it. Now, your flesh might like to watch that kind of stuff. Kind of keep you on the edge, you know what I'm saying? Who's behind that door and so forth, you know? But you know what? If it's in opening a door to the spirit of fear, you want to close that door ASAP, just like that. Oh, come on, Brother Keith. You need to be a little bit open-minded. No, we need to be closed-minded to fear, but open-minded to God. Well, about that time, you know, The Exorcist, that it had already been out, at the theaters. And now it's made its way to television. And it was you know, being advertised. It was going to be on. This is probably back in, oh gosh, it's probably 1979, right around that time. I was in high school at the time. And he goes, I'm going to watch The Exorcist tonight. Well, my mother said, I'm not watching. I'm going to bed. She had enough sense, you know. So she goes upstairs, and I'm behind the kitchen, you know. But see, where my bedroom is at that time, you know, it's just the living room's not far from there. You can hear the television. That was back in the days before flat screens. They had the big, huge box on the floor, you know, and had a big bass. You know, you could hear it really well. And I told my dad, you know, and we laughed about it years later after that. But I said, Dad, I said, you should not be watching that. Now, here's his son. 18 years old, telling my dad, you shouldn't be doing this. And I was learning to respect our elders. I grew up that way, right? But, you know, I really felt compelled. I wasn't mean about it. I said, Dad, I really don't think you should watch that. Oh, son, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it, you know. And, well, I'm back there in my bedroom, you know, trying to get some rest because I got to get up for work the next day, you know, and at that time. And I could hear, you know, and those flicks like that, there's music that goes with that, if you want to call it that. Makes it even more creepy. And I could hear that stuff, you know, I could hear it a little bit, what's going on. And about 45 minutes into that movie, you know, and like I said, I told my dad, you shouldn't be watching that. He fell asleep in the living room temporarily. He would do that. I mean, he could fall asleep like that. I mean, anywhere. I never understood that. But he, all of a sudden, I heard, and I'm back there, and I'm still awake, and I heard, oh, oh, whoa, oh, yeah. So I jumped out of bed, and I went in there, and I looked at him like this. I said, I told you shouldn't have been watching this. He fell asleep and had a nightmare. Now, he couldn't even admit that he was wrong. He just smiled. We had a couple of laughs after that through the years, you know. And I said, I told you shouldn't be watching that. You gotta watch what you hear, and you gotta watch what you're listening to. Half this, if you stop and think about it, half the stuff that we deal with, we don't even have to. If we go back upstream where it happened and trace back, what did we hear and what did we see? That's what attributed to the fear that we had. Amen. Are you with me? So, you mean to tell me I gotta be selective about what? No, Jesus said we need to be selective what we hear and how we hear. And that's why, on a regular basis, I choose who I'm going to listen to, what I'm going to listen to, and it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? We have CD players, used to be cassette players. We have thousands of hours of teaching. Now you've got the internet, everything on this little thing right here, that there's really no excuse, no excuse. Why we can't download the Word of God into us, hear ministers that are preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of faith that's going to help us, our messages. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And by doing that, we're building up a stockpile inside of us of faith through the Word of God. The shield of faith is built up on words. Amen. And those words are containers. Those words are powerful. Every once in a blue moon, usually on the holidays, we have a game called Scrabble. And my wife, she loves board games and stuff like that. I'm kind of bored of those games anyway, but, you know. But usually around Christmas, some of that time, we'll pull out the Scrabble board, blow the dust off of it, and we'll play, and her brother will come over or something like that, and we'll just play a game of Scrabble, you know. Well, if you know anything about Scrabble, each one of those letters, there's numbers on those that represent points, right? And the more numbers you have on those letters, the more chances you have of winning. Amen. Now, that's just like it is in the field of faith, is that when we load ourselves with words on the inside of us. Let me give you an example and I'll close here. I was 19 years old. And I had just gotten saved, started going to a church, hearing the Word of God. And I was just new at this. I was cutting my neighbor's grass. Had a pretty big yard, over almost an acre. And for a teenager, that was good money. You know, so I had the job of cutting their grass once a week during the summer season. Well, it's really hot out there. I'm just basically in my shorts, no shirt. I'm out there cutting grass. It's really hot in the summer. And I didn't know it, but I came across a bee's nest that was there. Okay? Now, all of my skin is pretty much exposed at this point. You understand? And I'm just, and this is before iPods and all this kind of stuff, or, you know, headphones and all that. But I'm just having a good time cutting the grass. And I was not paying attention. And I came across this bee's nest. And I mean, all of a sudden, before you know it, they're everywhere. Look like hundreds of them everywhere. Well, I'm not going to outrun them. I can't do that. Like the cartoons, they run for water and jump in the water or something like that. Yeah. You know, but there's no water around or anything like that. And so, you know, it's just so quick how things happen. Well, guess what happened? I had been going to church for a little while, and I heard a scripture out of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you."
Hallelujah.
Now, at the very moment of that massive nest that I did not see, and God knew that I didn't see it, I would have avoided it. Okay, I'm not going to tempt God, you know. And just run into the midst, say, "All right, Lord, prove your word here." Ouch! You know, that's not going to happen. But I didn't see it. I didn't know it was even there. But see, I had been downloading scriptures. I was so hungry for God. Back in those days when I went to church, they had a tape lending library. This is cassette tapes, you know. And the pastor brought in all these tapes there. And you would, like, sign it out, like a library book or something like that. You would take it home, bring it back the next week, you know. And I'm telling you, I was chomping at the bit. I was so hungry. That's where I met my wife, you know. And you remember when they had that library? And so I was like, "Oh, a new series of tapes from this minister," you know. And so I'd sign them up, bring it home. And I'd come home from church on Sunday afternoon and spend the rest of the afternoon putting one tape in, then another tape in, then another. And then my mother would say, "Son, are you coming down for dinner? I'll be down in a minute." Because I was, the things of God meant so much to me. They were dear to me. They were precious to me. And I was just fighting for the next breath of air. That's the way I felt. I was just wanting the Word of God like that. Well, that Word was being downloaded inside me. And when that situation presented itself with that nest right there, you know, before you know it, I stood back like this and I just said, "Nothing shall," I said out loud, out of my mouth, I said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt me." And guess what happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
Now it shocked me. Because you know what? I'm like thinking, where did that scripture come from? I couldn't even quote the verse, or I didn't know where it was, but I heard it. Mm-hmm. Now you remember what Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll teach you all things. Yes. And He'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you.
Amen.
And He will show us things to come. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit will, He'll deal with your past, deal with your present, deal with your future. Well, He brought a scripture to my remembrance that I didn't really knew that I knew. Mm-hmm. I had to go back up in my bedroom and get my big Strong's Concordance and look up where that scripture was. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But I learned something that day. That word was already in my heart. Mm-hmm. See, the Holy Spirit can't bring something to your remembrance unless it was first there.
Yes.
Now, if I say, "Now, do y'all remember this situation?" And I've never told you about it yet. You're like, "Well, what situation is it? I never told you." But if information's been given to you The job, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to take that information, bring it up inside you in the time of need to sustain you. So I said out loud, nothing shall by any means hurt me. And you know what? Not one of those bees in that nest hurt me that day. I just walked away from it.
Hallelujah.
And I still looked down. I could see them swarming down there, you know. That's when you get the fire out at night and the gasoline. You get down there and light that baby on fire, you know, once they're asleep, you know. But, you know, to my utter amazement, folks, listen, it shocked me. I did not expect that to happen that day. Okay? Now, sometimes things happen, but I'll tell you, what we need to do is we need to get that word just building up on the inside of us. And that word will sustain you. That word will sustain you. Amen? Hallelujah. When you put the word, when you deposit the word of God, it's kind of like putting money in your bank. You have a bank account. How many of you have a bank account? You know, well, you can't take out something unless you first put something in it. You know what I mean? You might even have money in your bank, but you know what? You could stand out in front of that bank and scream at the top of your lungs and say, "Give me my money right now." Now, your money's in the bank, right? They're not going to give it to you. There's a legal process whereby you withdraw legally that money to protect you and from other people. And God has already put on the inside of you and me His precious word. And that word is so precious that it will sustain us in times of sickness. It will sustain us in times of test and trial. It will sustain us in financial famine. The word of God is dear and precious to us. Amen? And I just want to admonish you to cling to it. Like you fell over the edge of a boat and you can't swim and you're just grabbing on anything you can. And the first solid thing you grab onto, that's going to hold you up. Amen? Let the word of God be that to you. And not treat the word of God flippantly like, doesn't really matter. It does matter. It's a big deal. Amen? Well, I can see right now I'm not going to have time for the rest of my notes here. That's why we got next week. We'll just hook up next week. What do you say? But I think I gave you enough here today that, you know, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Okay? So, you know, I just want to encourage you for your lesson this week. What was last week's lesson? To look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I am more than a conqueror. Or no, I said, overcomer. That's what I had you say, right? I said, I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. And when you say that and you speak that, you begin to operate in that.
Amen.
Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we'll close. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. We wait upon you right now, Father. We thank you right now, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, right now. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Why be concerned, saith the Lord, about your future? There's no need for you to be concerned about what will happen down the road. There's no need for you to be worried or anxious about that which should take place. Don't you know that I'm not just the God of the now, but I'm the God of the future? And as you walk with me and you stay close with me, you'll always be at the right place at the right time. Though it may not appear to your natural eyes at the moment, how's this going to work out? How's this situation going to turn around? Yea, saith the Lord, lean not to your own understanding, your intellect. Don't try to figure out with your natural understanding how this is going to work out. But rather yield yourself unto me and put your trust in me and say out loud, I put my trust in you, Lord. And as you do that, your pathway will be illuminated. Your path will be as the light of the dawn. It'll shine brighter and brighter unto a more imperfect day. Hallelujah. So today, roll your care. Roll your worries. Roll your anxieties. That which troubles you, roll it on me, saith the Lord. And I will take good care of you. Hallelujah. And there will be much cause for rejoicing, because my word will do it, and my spirit will see you through, saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's just do that. Just roll your cares on him right now. Whatever it is, just roll it on him. Father, I roll these things into your hands right now. I release the care of it into your hands right now. Just go ahead and do that. Praise God. Just close your eyes. Just do that. I release it to you, Lord. Lift your hands up to him. Say, Lord, I give you every care. I roll it into your hands. You take it. You work it out. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sweetheart, you got anything? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, miracles just start taking place when you do that.
Yes.
Just right while you're sitting in your chair, God's out there working behind the scenes, doing things for you, working, perfecting all that concerns you. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sean, it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. And, oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord's doing a big work on the inside of you, inside your spirit. He's talking to you. He's communicating to you. And your best days are yet ahead of you. Praise God. And he is going to work out all those little fine details of your life. Praise God. And you're going to sense his love, his goodness, and his mercy in your life like never before. And there's going to be a trail of people. It'll start out like a trickle, but there's going to be a trail of people that are going to follow you into the things of God.
Hallelujah.
And the influence of the Spirit of God upon your life is going to impact many people. So just prepare yourself. Be open to him. And he will continually use you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you today. We love you so much. We love you today, Lord. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I guess we're going to go ahead and dismiss. That's all I have in my spirit today. Amen.